if the energy crisis wasn't so serious, I think it would be laughable. I mean, just 7 months ago at COP26, we had elites, celebrities on their yachts, their private jets, leaders from all Western nations committing to ending fossil fuel subsidies. But now, look around. It's incredible. We've got the US, we've got Germany, UK, Italy, Netherlands, Austria, Japan, South Korea, France. Even California are all implementing subsidies for gasoline and other fossil fuels. You know, it's interesting. Juxtapose that with this week, the International Energy Agency issued a 10-point plan to reduce gasoline and diesel and other fossil fuel demand. But now we got these jurisdictions are putting in subsidies and tax breaks to make sure consumers don't have to curtail demand. Look at California. What an example. Spending $9 billion that directly supports consumer demand for gasoline. And the tax goes to anyone who owns a vehicle registered in California, whether they're worth $10 billion or 10 cents. You know what? That's 12 times more than their subsidy they're now offering to take public transit. And this is from a governor who paints himself so green that he makes leprechauns look pale. Come on, it's a good bet that Vladimir Putin is happy that consumption will continue. After all, he has an invasion to finance. But talk about governments trying to solve a problem that their own policies created. 8 years of regulations and talk discouraging oil and gas production. Well, it worked. Capital investments fallen off a cliff. Production can't keep up with rising demand, and presto, prices go up. And let me repeat, rising energy prices were obvious well before Russia invaded Ukraine. The sanctions just further exposed and exacerbated a problem that already existed. As I said, it would be laughable if the failure of leadership to understand the basics of the supply and demand didn't have such serious consequences. But actually, it's more than just supply and demand. I think it's the failure to see the coming crisis, which exposes, I think, a superficiality of thinking. And I think it's the main characteristic of political discourse about every aspect of the economy. Look, I've been studying economics, finance, investment for over 50 years. I experienced the ups and downs of owning, well, it was a good-sized business. I've had the wonderful opportunity to talk to numerous brilliant thinkers on the front lines of business and finance. And I've never been more concerned. It's not just about the lack of sophistication on the part of our leaders, but a knowledge of economics, finance, and investment. No, I think it's the lack of interest in getting better understanding. I mean, it's one thing if you don't care. I get that. But come on, these people aren't average people. They're making policy. And it couldn't come at a worse time. Record debt, monetary crisis, high inflation, record taxes, geopolitical upheaval, and now an energy and food shortage. It's interesting. You've got to note that none of our leaders or climate activists or grandstanding cheerleaders at the COP26 saw this price increase coming, which is incredible because it had already started in Europe 2 months before. They don't show any understanding of the spillover impact on fertilizer costs due to the rise in natural gas. Again, that was readily apparent in September and October with skyrocketing pneumonia prices. I'm worried, though, that they don't seem to have learned anything from this. The energy challenge is not difficult to understand, though. I mean, 84% of the world's energy comes from fossil fuels, and the transition to renewable energy is going to take decades. But it's also going to need a massive amount of things like diesel and gas to transition to wind, solar, hydroelectric power, nuclear, and build the infrastructure needed for things like charging stations for electric vehicles. And we still don't have the battery storage technology to solve the intermittent power problems of wind and solar that really showed up in the UK and Europe this past fall, pushing energy prices way up. And speaking of nuclear, did you see this? Canada recently announced the Green Bond Framework, focused on raising capital to support the federal government's climate agenda, which inexplicably excludes nuclear power as eligible for funding. I mean, much to the applause of groups like Greenpeace, but think about it. UK, France, China, Argentina, Brazil, Bulgaria, Czech Republic, Egypt, Finland, Hungary, India, Kazakhstan, Poland, Saudi Arabia, Uzbekistan. Hey, they're all commissioning new nuclear plants. But maybe more than that, the UN's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change calls for an increase in nuclear power by between 98 and 501% to avoid the most dangerous aspects of climate change. But no, we couldn't get that one past the climate ideologues in Ottawa. Meanwhile, the negative impact of high gas, oil, diesel, coal prices, I think it continues to move up the income ladder. Sure, the poor are already feeling it. But a global Ipsos Reid poll this week found nearly a quarter of Canadians, they can't make ends meet, but another 28% are on the edge. Hey, maybe if you're lucky enough to be able to afford the price increases of energy and food and others, well, don't rest too easy, because I think this isn't over. Your turn may be coming.